And you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday, February the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2013. And it's an open mic Friday, which means you can phone in. And as has been my custom recently, I begin the program with talking about the hymn selected for this coming Sunday, which is the second Sunday in Lent. And it's what you partly heard. Lord, Thee I love with all my heart. Now, we're not going to take a look at the whole thing, but just a portion that I think really divides Law and Gospel properly. It was written by Martin Schalling, S-C-H-A-L-L-I-N-G, who died in 1608, and is translated by our favorite translator, Catherine Winkworth, who died in 1878. And I'm going to be taking a look at a part of verse 2 to show the heightened awareness of Law and Gospel. Let me read it. Yea, Lord, 'twas thy rich bounty gave my body, soul, and all I have in this poor life of labor. Lord, grant that I in every place may glorify thy lavish grace and help and serve my neighbor. Let no false doctrine me beguile, let Satan not my soul defile. Give strength and patience unto me to bear my cross and follow thee. Boy, there is so much just in that one verse. First of all, it's very clear who is the subject of our salvation. It is the Lord who has given up his rich bounty. Yes, he was in heaven. He was without suffering, without hunger, without a need to sleep, and he humbled himself. He came down to earth, leaving his rainbow-encircled throne, so to speak, in order that he might help us in this poor life of labor. Now, why is that in there? Because that's the curse we're under. The Garden of Eden was a real rest home. And instead, the curse of work took its place. God has come to bring us back into a rest home, heaven itself. We're asking that we might glorify his lavish grace, because it is by his gracious attitude that you and I are going to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And what is the goal of that? It is to help and serve our neighbor. We may be talking about that a little later in the program if I get to the point about somebody's encouraging the next pope be a nun. And part of the reason is because they help and serve the neighbor. But more than that, through Jesus Christ, we're asking that no false doctrine me beguile. It's unfortunate in this article about a nun being a pope, is the writer is giving the impression that we should be forgetting about differences in doctrine and just concentrate on the real work of the church, which is helping the needy. Well, that's not true. The real work of the church is found in Matthew 28, to baptize and save everyone, not just the needy. We're asking for God also that our soul not be defiled by Satan, and that we have been given strength and patience to bear our cross and follow thee. There's one promise, and we'll talk about this more on Monday, that we're all going to get, and that is a cross. And that cross isn't just suffering or sickness or hunger or thirstiness or this kind of thing. No, it is the result of standing up for Jesus. That's the cross that is being spoken of in the scripture, with the promise that when we follow Jesus, when we talk about him, guess what? We will be persecuted. That's God's promise. So if we have some time at the end, we may just go back and play for you the entire hymn. And we'll just see how things go. But this is Open Mic Friday. If you would like to call in, don't hesitate to do so. The numbers are 505-7850 in the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727 anywhere in North America. Okay, so that's Lord Thee I Love with All My Heart. Let's go to a second item here that I found very interesting, sent to me, emailed. It's a book about helping understand the Bible. And Catherine Cortis has written this. It exposes a new approach to studying the Word of God. It's called Just the Word. It's the ultimate Bible study guide that profiles single words pertaining to success across the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Now, notice how in the temporal realm, the S changes to success instead of salvation. Now, what kind of words do you think she wants to search throughout the Scripture to see how we can become successful? Well, here are the topics. First of all, success, prosperity, wealth, gold, money, riches, fortunes, treasures, storehouses, increase, power. Did you notice a few words that were missing, like forgiveness, robe of righteousness, baptism, the Lord's Supper? She herself says, I saw an unfilled need regarding non-denominational and unbiased Bible study material. And so I developed a product to meet that need. My book allows the person looking for answers to any of life's problems to find that answer in God's Word. Well, sure, some of us may be having a problem with not enough wealth, not enough fortune, not enough power. But is that why God wrote the Bible? This is a clear confusion of law and gospel. Because under the law, you're looking to the Bible to see what you can get out of it. It's like somebody says, well, you should become a Christian. And the person asks, who's living under the law, what's in it for me? Oh, nothing much, just eternal salvation. Okay, well, then I'll decide to do that. No, I'm afraid not. It's impossible for you to make a decision for Jesus because the unbeliever hates Jesus. And if you ever make a decision because of what's in it for me, that's called self-righteousness. It's part of the problem with the Pharisees, the unbelieving ones. And so nobody gets to heaven by their own self-righteousness. What we're dealing with here is a person who knows that the ultimate needs of a lot of people in the world may be money and wealth and success and power. And so she just searches through the Scriptures. It reminds me of somebody who once said that almost one-third of the New Testament is about money. The only problem is, a lot of times it's not about money at all. Well, yesterday we dealt with that about the rich man. Came to Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, oh, you want to do something to be saved? Well, then get rid of all your money, give it to the poor, come follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. Of course, the disciples are astonished. Who can be saved if this rich man can't? And Jesus says it pretty clearly, well, with men it's impossible. It's impossible to do anything, think anything, or say anything in order to be saved. That's the message of Christianity. And Jesus was using the law, telling a person what to do, knowing full well he was unable to do it. That's the purpose of the law, to get a person feeling that they're totally naked. In fact, there's that wonderful hymn that talks about this. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked I come to him for dress, and he dresses you in the robe of righteousness. Proper Christianity, and if you're not hearing that at your church, if you're walking out of a sermon and you've got a burden you have to fulfill, you're at the wrong church. It's as simple as that. A proper law and gospel sermon doesn't give you burdens that you need to fulfill in order to be saved. Now, should we obey the will of God? Well, obviously we should. It's like asking a kid, do you obey your parents? Well, not always. Oh, so they kick you out of the house? No, my parents aren't like that. They let you stay in the house when you disobey? Yes. Because, you see, my relationship with my parents is not based on my behavior. It's based on the fact that I was born into the family. You know, that's so simple to understand. Why can't you understand that's the same way it is with God? You are not going to heaven based on your behavior. You're going to heaven based on whether you were adopted into the family of God, particularly by holy baptism. Though not necessary, that's the only way we can be sure we're adopted. So I don't know how many times you run across articles like this, people trying to sell the Bible, because they're looking at the Bible as principles of life. The fact of the matter, the rich man who wanted to know what to do to be saved really has nothing to do with money. Jesus just used that as an example in his particular life. It really was all about that there's nothing a man can do to be saved. The vast majority of parables about money aren't about money at all. In fact, one of my favorite statements about parables is whatever a parable is talking about is not what a parable is talking about. So if it's talking about a farmer throwing out grain, it's not talking about farming. If it's talking about fishing, it's not talking about fishing. If it's talking about money, that's not the point of the parable at all. So, find Jesus in every portion of the Bible. And on Monday, we're going to be taking a look at a place in the Old Testament that people don't recognize Jesus is there. But we're going to show that to you on Monday. But today, what are we trying to do? Well, we're just waiting for any phone calls at 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. But my wife brought me this article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper by E.J. Dionne, D-I-O-N-N-E, from the Washington Post. And his point is, what the cardinal should elect as pope is a nun. Wow. And here's his reason. Handing leadership to a woman, and in particular to a nun, would vastly strengthen Catholicism, help the church solve some of its immediate problems, and inspire many who have left the church to look at it with new eyes. See, that statement itself tells you what's wrong with a pope. Do you notice the category a pope is put into? Handing leadership to a woman. This is the problem we have even in the Lutheran Church, that pastors are considered to be leaders rather than servants. The leader in our church, where I was at, St. James Lutheran, wasn't me, the pastor. It was Jesus Christ. He's the leader. He's the shepherd. Oh, there's no doubt I would lead people in worship, but that really doesn't talk about what leadership is. Leadership is the one who calls the shots. Pastors don't call the shots. They just reinforce the shots called by Jesus, so to speak. Proper worship is simply saying back to Jesus what he's already told us to say. Now, what's the reason that this gentleman thinks a nun would be so impressive? Well, there's a number of them. One of them is that many of the nuns walk the talk of the gospel. In other words, he says they devote their lives to the poor, the marginalized, refugees, the disabled, the homeless, simply because Christ instructed us so to do in Matthew 25:40. Whatever you do for one of the least of these, my brethren, you do for me. Now, why do they emphasize the word least? Is that exhaustive? No. You could put it this way. Whatever you do for one of these, my brethren, you do for me, including the least of them. Jesus hung around with leaders in the spiritual realm. He hung around with the rich. He hung around with aliens. The Samaritans, people who aren't of the house of Israel. He hung around with everybody. I mean, take a look at the parable of the two sons. Well, one of them kind of became a real mess, running away, taking the money, dealing with all kinds of a bad lifestyle. The other one stayed at home, served his father, but neither of them were proper, yet both of them were invited to the full wealth of being part of the kingdom of God. The article goes on, this is why we don't pray to the Virgin Mary. He does say Roman Catholics are profoundly devoted to the Virgin Mary, a church for which the Blessed Mother plays such an important role should certainly be comfortable with female leadership. See? We don't believe that Mary hears us when we pray to her, since Abraham doesn't hear us according to the Bible. There's a gulf between earth and those who have died ahead of us. Nowhere in the Bible is there one verse that talks about praying to Mary. But you see, they bring out Mary when they want to kind of make a point. And the point he wants to make, of course, is, look, if Mary is the one to whom we pray, why can't we have a woman pope? Well, the reason you can't have a woman pope is, this is one area where we agree with the Romans, is women cannot be pastors or priests. That is clear from the Word of God. But, of course, in our liberal mindset, you've got a lot of women who are disagreeing with that point of view and are pretending that they're pastors, when from God's point of view, they're not pastors at all. But they think they are. Now, the one point he makes, which is an interesting one because we're with him on this, perhaps a female pope could transform the discussion about abortion from one that is too often rooted in harsh judgments and at times anger into a compassionate dialogue aimed at changing hearts and minds rather than changing laws. One of my best friends, in fact, a former seminarian affiliated with my church, Dr. James Lamb, is head of Lutherans for Life. And if you think he has harsh judgments and anger and is not a compassionate person, then obviously you have never heard him interviewed on this program or issues, etc. He's wonderful. But he's opposed to abortion, because it's the killing of a human being. So, having a woman pope, one of his main reasons, and this was very interesting, is they still have a problem with the sex abuse scandals of homosexual priests fooling around with little boys. A female pope, he writes, would automatically be distanced from this past and could have a high degree of credibility that a male member of the hierarchy simply could not. See, here we go again. Do you notice that God doesn't appear in the picture anywhere? It's as though he's saying God would have a lot easier time working through a woman pope than he would a male pope. Oh, really? Makes me cough. Excuse me. The fact of the matter is, God can talk through a donkey. He doesn't need a female. And he did talk through a donkey, Balaam's donkey. It's in the Bible. It doesn't matter who he's talking to. He talks through me, one of the worst sinners in the world. He can talk through you, probably another person who's one of the worst sinners in the world. See, because it's not me and my logic or my reasoning that convinces anybody. It's the Word of God. If I don't speak the Word of God, nothing is happening. And even in this judgmental time against those who are having abortions, many people are coming to the faith who were about to have an abortion. So the last paragraph reads, the church needs a leader who has worked closely with the poor and the outcast, who understands that battling over doctrine is less important for the church's future than modeling Christian behavior, and who sees that the proper Christian attitude toward the modern world is not fear, but hope. Isn't that interesting? the battle over doctrine is less important for the church's future. Okay, let me name some groups where the battle over doctrine was given up. Mormonism. They gave up the battle over doctrine. They believed what Joseph Smith said he heard, which was, of course, a lie. Jehovah's Witnesses. There's another area, another group, that gave up the battle over doctrine and gave in to the devil's doctrine. Christian Science. Already the Roman Catholic Church is sliding down the precipice. They now okay evolution. Did you hear that? And a number of their so-called scholars do not agree with everything that's in the Bible, like what Jesus said or what he did. These are supposedly Roman Catholics. And, of course, you now have nuns who are for abortion and who are lesbian. This is a battle that both the Roman Church and the Lutheran Church have to keep on fighting. Because if we don't keep on fighting for it, pretty soon the church is just going to fall into the secular world. And already, the United States is not the fastest growing Christian nation. Areas of Africa are. South America. We've got a large Lutheran church in India. What's happening in the United States? It's becoming secular. And how could it not? With laws now on the books, okaying abortion, okaying homosexual behavior, okaying gay marriage. Anybody remember Sodom and Gomorrah? The thing is there are a lot more than 10 in the United States who haven't fallen into this. All I can say is I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Well, how long God's going to continue to have patience. But the fact of the matter is, all you have to do is look at the history of the world. Every great empire that once was is no longer. They may still exist, but they certainly are not well known. I'm Tom Baker. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi. It seems to me the messaging problems that a lot of churches have is that they appeal to people's ego and not to their humility, if they have any.
Well, I'm very happy that you call me. This makes me very proud. Oh, wait a minute. That's not the point, was it? No, it's called self-righteousness.
Yeah.
It's called we want to be autonomous, which means a law unto ourselves. And that makes that's why we don't have humility. Who was I just reading? He said, was an old philosopher. He said three things a person must have. The first one is humility. The second one is humility. And the third one is humility.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect.
I know.
It's unbelievable how people refuse to accept the fact that they're flawed. And that's the way that God is approaching them, as a flawed person, not as a person who is smart or brilliant.
Right.
You know.
And therefore, to get rid of our flaws, we have to kind of go with the world. And let's put a woman nun in there because she'll be a lot more effective than a male nun, as though God isn't even in the picture. I tell you, when the Pope speaks out pro-life, he's really good. So you don't need a female in there to put out God's word.
But at the time of Christ, weren't some of the people who were following them around were women, right?
Oh, my, yes.
But see, you know, they were disciples in a sense, but they were not doing pastoral duties in terms of
Here's the distinctions. Many of them are called disciples, but none of them are called apostles.
Right.
And the apostle is the office, and we today have the pastor, which came about after Pentecost. And we know of no woman at all who became a pastor in the New Testament.
So even with Christ's group of apostles and followers, there were women there too, and they were able to share their different duties.
Yep, Yep, that's absolutely correct. And since we follow the law very closely, you hear the music. So, sorry, Brian. End of conversation. Goodbye.
Long.
I'm Tom Baker. You've been listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday. And, boy, I just went too long, so I cannot play that wonderful hymn that we could have played, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart. Go to the Internet. You can hear it there. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.